let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. Food Jockey, The World of a Fast Food Worker by Spencer Tyler Thomas Palmer is a one-year journey of a person working in a fast food restaurant. See the world through his eyes, hear through his ears, see his thought, sometimes dark thought. A world the reader is often visited, but never truly seen. From running a cash register to serving the public, this was a year of working in the restaurant business for Spencer Palmer. Now he's sharing his experience of being in the world of a fast food worker, food jockey, for all to know. Spencer Tyler Thomas Palmer, born in West Chicago, Illinois in 1979. He resides in Woodstock, Georgia, graduated from Reinhardt University with a BA in history in 2002, serving in the United States Army as a motor transport operator, currently in El Paso, Texas. He's the author of Food Jockey, The World of a Fast Food Worker, and he's our guest via Skype on This Week in America. Spencer, welcome to the program. It's great to have you with us.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for having me on your show.
This is really a unique perspective on a book, and I'm really looking forward to having a chance to talk about this. What inspired you to actually write this book?
Well, what inspired me to write the book was actually a couple books I read. I don't know if you follow professional wrestling.
Oh, yes.
Like World Wrestling Federation.
Yes, I do.
You remember two wrestlers called, I'm sure you remember Rowdy Piper?
Oh, yes.
I read his book years ago. And do you remember a tag team called the British Bulldogs?
Oh, of course. Dave Boy Smith? Yes, yes.
Yes, I'm sure you know the Dynamite Kid passed away recently, right?
Yes.
And I read his book called Pure Dynamite, the Price You Pay for Wrestling Stardom. And when I was in college, I read a book, very interesting book called Rivet Head by Ben Hamper, Tales from the Assembly Line, about a man who wrote about his life as a shop rat working the auto assembly plants in Flint, Michigan. And that just gave me the idea that they could write a book, and I could do it too.
And you've done it so well with this book. And by the way, there was a point in my life when I was doing some announcing with the World Wrestling Federation. It was the WWF back then before they made the transition to WWE. Correct. So those people you talk about, I used to work with, and some amazing, talented individuals during that time period there. You know, this book, Food Jockey, the World of a Fast Food Worker, this book really is unique in your perspective. Talk about what do you think makes this book so unique?
Well, because I think it's an experience that so many people have gone through. I mean, I'm not the only one who worked in a fast food restaurant. I mean, my brothers are in the book with me. They worked in the restaurant with me at the same time. And I think it's an experience a lot of people could relate to. And as I put in the summary, it's a world that people visit, but they often don't see because they're not there. I mean, people go there, they get their food, they eat, or they just get their food and they leave. They don't really see what really goes on when you work there. I mean, as I found out, when I started working at a fast food restaurant, I had no idea what I was getting myself into, to be honest. I mean, I really had no idea what I was going to experience.
That is so true. When I read the name of the book, Food Jockey, The World of a Fast Food Worker, it's something we sort of take for granted. We go in and we order, we get our food, and we go about our lives. For you, that's a job. You are there day after day. You bring that home, the good and the bad, the ugly, in the book, Food Jockey. With us, Spencer Tyler, our guest on the program, book available at Amazon, wherever books are sold. We'll talk about the specifics of the job here in a little bit, but I'm fascinated by writing, the inspiration you had to get into writing. Have you written any other books, and do you plan on more books in the future?
It's a possibility. As I said, being in the Army, sir, I'm really busy a lot. I mean, the Army is a different way of life. I mean, yeah, maybe if the time comes, I'll write another book sometime, but never say never, right?
Well, that's true, and you're very talented at that, so I certainly would encourage that. You bring the job to life, and what do you think that the reader will learn from reading your book? What will we learn? What perspective will this give us?
The perspective I hope to give readers is that the people that work there, I mean, it's a job that it's not an easy job. I mean, yeah, I mean, the pay is not the greatest, as I found out. And the job is not very glamorous, but it's hard work. I mean, I found out what a hard job is working in a restaurant. And I think I want people just to see from the other side of the counter. When you go there, I mean, if you can read my book, you can see what it's like to be work in a restaurant in general. I mean, there's good days, but also if you read my book, there's bad days. I mean, I just was not expecting the rude treatment that people dish out when you work in a restaurant. And in the end, that was the rude treatment in the restaurant from the customers what made me leave the job and say I'm never coming back, because I couldn't do it after a year. And the people that work in restaurants, that, you know, they have my utmost respect. They've got more patience than I do. They do.
Why do you think some treat people rudely who work in the fast food industry? Why do you think that is?
Well, I myself could not, years after I wrote the book, I couldn't really understand that. But I talked to some people who work in the restaurant business. I've just talked to people in general. I think some people go into the restaurant, and they kind of look down at workers. They think, oh, these people, they can't get a better job. Or I think for them, it's a release for them because they've been at work all day. They've been told what to do all day. They've been yelled at by their boss all day. And I think for them, they think, I got to vent to these people. I mean, that these people, when you work in a restaurant, sir, you're really defenseless. I mean, as I learned about working in a restaurant, the golden rule is the customer's always right, but I also learned that it's shut up and take the money. You're not allowed to defend yourself when you work in a restaurant. And people can dish out, they can be as mean and rude to you. They can be just... they can treat you like you're like worse than nothing, and you're powerless to do anything about it.
And I understand probably if you did something about it or made a comment back, even though it might have been in not an irritated voice, but say something, you probably would be an ex fast food worker very quickly. So I can certainly understand that. You just get the food out, turn your ears off so you're not hearing what's going on. Are there other books out there like yours? Because I've never quite seen something with the perspective, the honesty, and as well written as your book.
Well, I think I've heard of one called Fast Food Nation by Eric Schlosser. I've never had a chance to read that book, but I heard of that book.
Yeah, and that's one of the books out there that's available, and I'm sure that one is well done, as this is by our guest, Spencer Tyler, Thomas Palmer. The book is Food Jockey, The World of a Fast Food Worker. Talk about your background a little bit, where you're from, and how you got the first fast food job originally.
My background is I'm originally from Illinois. I was born in a town called West Chicago in DuPage County. That's about 30 miles west of the city of Chicago. My family and I moved to Georgia in 1992 when I was 13 years old. My father, my mother, my two brothers and me. Even though I've lived in Georgia for over 20 years, I've never lost my Midwestern roots. I'm still a Chicago area guy. I mean, big Chicago Bears fan, White Sox fan. And I got my first job in the restaurant business because I was in college at the time, and like a lot of college students, I needed money. And my older brother was working in the restaurant at the time, and he was friends with the manager who worked in the restaurant. And basically, this friend of my older brother's helped me get the job.
Can you live on the wages? We hear that every time there is a discussion about raising the minimum wage, and you think of fast food workers in particular that are at the bottom of the scale. Can you exist on the money they pay you?
It would be very hard to. I mean, I have a cousin who lives in California, and he basically he's been a waiter for most of his career, and he hasn't been able to live on his own. Definitely I do think that people who work in restaurants, they deserve better pay. I mean, because it's not an easy job. It simply isn't.
What do you hope people take away from reading the book? Well, first of all, let me ask, can they relate, do you think, and will they better relate to fast food workers after reading your book?
Well, what I hope they relate to, I hope they relate to the fact that the people that work in restaurants are human. Personally, I had a visit to a McDonald's here in El Paso recently, and I saw where you can order by machine now, so I think there's a strong possibility that this line of work may be obsolete someday, because I went to a McDonald's and I basically went up to a machine, hit a few buttons, put my card in, and I got my order out. So, but I hope people, when they read my book, they'll realize that, you know, just because a person works in a restaurant doesn't necessarily mean that they're stupid, doesn't necessarily mean that they can't get a better job. It could just be a person who just at the time needs the money. And one thing I didn't include in my book, sir, that I thought would have put people off from reading it was, when I worked in the restaurant, sir, I learned from being in the business, when you work in a restaurant, you have a lot of people, you have a lot of power over people because you're handling their food. I can tell you stories that I did to people's food and that some of the other people who worked with me, we would do to people's food who were rude to us and infuriate us by the treatment that they did. So
yeah, if you decide to look down and to say something or have an attitude, there's somebody on the other side that actually, you got the final say, don't you? You're the one that's wrapping their food, handing them their food. You're the last one to touch it before it's in the bag and they take it back to their table to eat or take it home to eat.
Yeah, and I tell that to people all the time. You know, don't be rude to people who work in a restaurant. If you go there and you don't like the service, as I've had bad experiences in restaurants, and what I did, I didn't get mad. I didn't yell at the people. I just got up and left and went somewhere else. I mean, you're free to do that. I mean, understand people who work in a restaurant, they have bad days too. They might be tired. I remember days where I worked in a restaurant, sir, where I worked double shift. I would just be exhausted at the end of my shift. I remember working days where I was sick. I mean, there's people who work in restaurants that are human, and they're subject to human emotions, and they're subject to days that people in everyday jobs go through.
Yeah, and when you're in a fast food restaurant and you're sitting there eating or standing in line, look at the physical activity that the people even up front are going through, the people in the back are going through that are doing the cooking and the prep and getting everything ready to go. It's a very physical activity. When you mentioned this is interesting, you go to McDonald's and a lot of restaurants have this now where you basically you can order everything, so you're eliminating a human or two. Is that good or bad, mm-hmm. do you think? Because for a lot of these people, this really is a job they need and maybe one of the few jobs they can qualify for. Is this bad when you see more automation like that?
It could be, because when I was at Fort Eustis, Virginia, I mean, there was a huge homeless population there. And sometimes when I would go out a gate, like when I was on a funeral detail at Fort Eustis, I was taking my uniform to a dress uniform to the cleaners, I would encounter homeless people outside the back gate. And there was one homeless guy that I saw there periodically. And then one day, all of a sudden, I saw him working at the Taco Bell there outside the back gate. So obviously that guy took that job because he needed a job. I mean, and yeah, if you do make it where, you know, where people just go and hit buttons on a machine and their order comes out, you are eliminating a job. But, you know, I guess that's progress. And that's technology for you.
Yeah, with us on the program, Spencer Tyler Thomas Palmer. The book is Food Jockey, The World of a Fast Food Worker. The book's available at Amazon, wherever books are sold. You can go to our website, thisweekinamerica.us, and get information on the book there as well. Talk about maybe the best and the worst aspects of the job. I think you've talked about some of the bad ones. What were some of the better aspects of the jobs? Were there times when you really felt people treated you properly and you felt good about that relationship?
Yeah, there were some good aspects of the job. I mean, some of the coworkers I got along well with. There was one worker who I worked with. We had a lot of Hispanic people who worked there because some of them were migrants from Mexico and Central America. There was one guy I enjoyed working with because he and I were like a well-oiled machine. We worked together as a team. And don't get me wrong, there were some customers there that I really enjoyed interacting with. Not all customers were bad. There were some customers who were actually very kind. There were some customers who, if the order got wrong, they would come up and they would be polite about it. And that's the point I would like to make in the book was, the people who work in restaurants are human. If your order gets wrong, be polite about it. If you're polite about it, they'll want to help you. If you're not polite about it, they're not going to want to help you. But working with my brothers was kind of fun. We had a lot of fun on the job. Just being brothers, just kind of, you know, sometimes when business was slow, we would find ways to entertain ourselves. So, I mean, yeah, there were positive aspects of the job, but I mean, just for me, the negative aspect of the job was just the rude treatment by customers, because I can't stand rude treatment, and that just made me leave and say, I can't do this anymore.
What was this experience like for you in writing the book? And let me ask it this way. As you were going through this process working there for the year that you were working, did you think, I need to write a book about this? Or did this come about afterwards when you decided to actually write the book?
This came about afterwards. As I said, I left the job in August of 2000, and I wrote the book in 2003. It was after I'd read Roddy Piper's book and Dynamite Kid's book, and then when I thought back about reading Ben Hamper's book, I thought, you know, maybe this experience could be a book. I mean, ordinary people have experiences that could be written about. I mean, you don't have to be a celebrity just to write a book.
Well, yeah.
One more thing. The thing that attracted me to Dynamite Kid's book was not necessarily Dynamite Kid, was the fact that when I saw the title of his book was The Price You Pay for Wrestling Stardom. And that's what made me want to read. I want to read, what did this man pay? What was the price for professional wrestling stardom? And I got to learn it from reading that book. And there's a price for working in the restaurant business, as I found out. You know, very unglamorous work, not very decent pay, and oftentimes very, very rude treatment. So that's what inspired me to write the book.
Yeah, and looking back on the time that you spent there, what did you learn? Obviously, there were a number of negatives there, but did you come away with maybe life lessons that served you well for the rest of your life now?
Well, I learned that work is work. I mean, I met a woman who was here at Fort Bliss. She was a recruiter before she joined the Army, and she said she helped put people in the Army who were working in places like Dunkin' Donuts, like restaurants. And she said there's nothing wrong with working a job like that. A job's a job. And the thing I gained from working in a restaurant, it's honest work. It's hard work. It's not glamorous work, but it's hard work. So I learned the value of hard work when I worked in the restaurant. I really did.
In conclusion here, what would you say to people who stop by fast food restaurants, maybe sort of mindlessly go in, not paying a whole lot of attention, or like you've said, and I think it makes a lot of sense, I've been at work all day, I've been abused by my boss, now I've got people that I can abuse because there's nothing they can do about it, they think. What do you hope it, for the reader, will it change our attitude? What do you want us to remember the next time we go into a fast food place to order?
Well, I want them to learn that, you know, these people, they're people, and, you know, they don't think that you have all the power over them, because they have, yeah, you have power because you're spending money there, and that's a lot of power, but the people who work there have a lot of power over you, too. I mean, you don't know what people are doing to your food if you're rude to them. You really don't, and you need to keep that in mind. And just understand, this person, they're having a day just like you. They're going through a day, they're working a job in hopes of getting paid for it. And I hope that if you go into a restaurant, keep in mind that, you know, you're dealing with humans. People are human. That's just the way I look at it.
So when you go in and you order something and you're a little surly and the people there don't say anything back to you, it's not like you've totally escaped. There are other ways they can get back at you. I think the statute of limitations has probably passed. What were some of the common ways that, like, okay, I can't say to this guy that I think he's a jerk, but I'm going to do this to his food? What did you used to do?
Me and the other people, we would spit in people's food. The Mexican cooks, sometimes they would rub their armpits and they would rub their hands on the people's burgers. So we would do all kinds of things. One time I was sick, I had a really bad case of bronchitis, and I got called into work and I was not happy about it. I was given the task of calling orders out over the intercom, you know, to let people know their food was ready. After hours of that, my voice was shot, and this guy came up and told me there was problems with order, blah, blah, blah. I tried to help him out, but I was telling him, sorry, sir, I can barely talk above a whisper, I'm sick. Well, then he called the manager out, you know, complained about me, said that I was rude to him, that he told me to speak up. I didn't speak up. So when the guy wasn't looking, I actually coughed on his food, thinking, get sick, you know what.
Boy, I wish I hadn't have asked that question. I was so tempted to ask that. That's interesting. The next time, that special sauce may not necessarily be that special sauce. That's just an incredible story. And what a delightful book it is, a book that's important to read. You see it from a world we're all familiar with from a different perspective. Food Jockey, The World of a Fast Food Worker by Spencer Tyler, Thomas Palmer, our guest on the program. Book available at Amazon, the usual places. Spencer, a pleasure having you on the program. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Could I put one more thing, sir?
Sure.
Well, one thing I put in my book was sometimes kids, the kids of child customers can be rude. And there was one time where these kids were very rude to me, and they were getting ready to leave. They were passing through on a long road trip. The kids and the parents were very rude to me about brownies the kids wanted. So when they weren't looking, I knew the kids weren't going to get, because the parents were telling the kids, you won't get the brownies until hours later. So when the kids weren't looking, I smashed the brownies up, put them in a to-go box. So they were miles away by the time they got crumbs. And I would tell kids when they go into a restaurant, be nice, because that could be you someday. You know, that's a world that, you know, you may think that may never be you, but it could be.
And I guess that's probably wrapping it up in two words. Just be nice. Treat these people like people and everything will be fine. Yeah. Your brownie won't be crumbled. Your hamburger won't be put in somebody's pit. It will be it'll be an enjoyable experience on both sides of the counter. This has been fun. Spencer, thank you for joining us. The book, Food Jockey, The World of a Fast Food Worker. Thank you for being with us.
Yes, in closing, I would tell people the food may cost money, but please and thank you and being polite doesn't cost you anything.
Well said. We'll leave it with that. It's an important book. Food Jockey, The World of a Fast Food Worker. Spencer Tyler, Thomas Palmer, our guest on the program. You're listening to This Week in America, and we're back after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.